Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the coming one. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and she wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Today, Christ is nearer to humanity than at any other time in human history. He is closer than the most aspiring and hopeful disciple knows. Christ belongs to humanity, and not alone to the churches and religious faiths throughout the world. What does Alice Bailey mean, not alone to the churches?
I think she must have been trying to affirm that Christ belongs to all of humanity, and that the implication being that the churches may not really interpret his relationship to humanity and his approach to humanity all that accurately. The Book of Revelations has been interpreted to say that at the end of the age there will be a judgment day where people will be sorted out and the few elect will be saved and taken off to some rather vague heaven, and everybody else, well, too bad for them. And that's never sounded right to me, because this same entity, Christ, said, "Other sheep have I not of this fold, them also must I bring," which to me suggests that he saw all of humanity as his flock, to continue with the sheep analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you interpret it.
Well, yes, I think that's in this time of the year. I think at this Christmas time it's a good time to reflect, I guess, on the Christ and really what it means, what he means, and a better definition of Christ, because it is so associated with the Christian religion. And in fact, when he comes again, when he does return, he will come for all humanity, and not just for the Christians in the world. And he's coming for as the world teacher, as I think we've said before, and as the head of the spiritual hierarchy. So it's a very worldwide scope, and his consciousness will be totally inclusive.
This concept of the return of the Christ is one that is found in many world religions. It's quite fascinating to ponder. In fact, the ancient Persian religion of the cult of Mithraeus also observed the birth of the world Savior on December 25th, the exact same date. And I think there's a logic to that belief, because at this time of year, the light in the northern hemisphere is most limited, the days are shortest and the nights are longest, and in the darkness the point of light, which is embodied by the world Savior, by the Christ, is most visible. The stars shine most brightly on a moonless night, don't they? When the heavens are darkest, then we see the bright light of the stars. And that spiritual parallel is borne out by the return of the world teacher in the darkest time of the year. So there is the ancient Persian expectation. There's the expectation of the Maitreya Buddha on the part of the Buddhists who look for the final incarnation of the final Buddha at some point in human evolution.
The idea also in the also in Islam, there is the mm-hmm. Imamadi that mm-hmm. is expected. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's
the Messiah in Judaism.
All the major world religions are expecting some great being to appear, and so we don't know exactly how or when, but it should be sometime soon, we think. I don't mean this year or next year, but
who knows?
In the next 100 years, maybe. So, but because so much depends upon human beings, it depends mm-hmm. upon humanity and what, how much we are able to prepare the way.
I think that's another misunderstanding that we've tended to foster about the return of the Christ, the world teacher, that he will come to save us. And that sort of implies that we don't have to do much of anything. He'll come and bail us out. And I don't think Christ is the bailiff. I think he is the indicator of a new way, a new and higher path. Traditionally, the idea of the return of the world teacher was associated with Judgment Day, which again fills a lot of people with fear and trembling because we will be judged and found wanting. And the implication is that it's the end time, as some Christians call it, when the end of the world comes, Armageddon. All of that, to my tiny mind, is a misunderstanding. I think of it as a new beginning, that the return of the world teacher is because humanity is ready for a new and fresh path, because they have sufficiently learned the lessons of the world teacher's last incarnation. And just this morning I was reading a very interesting article with a rabbi who was raised a Lubavitcher, I think that's the correct pronunciation, and who ardently believed in the return of the Messiah, and throughout his early years was looking for the Messiah, praying for him, and the Messiah didn't come. And he said he had to ask himself why the Messiah didn't come, and he finally decided the Messiah wouldn't come until he could come for everybody. And I would tend to agree with that the Christ, the Messiah, words which mean the same thing, incidentally, the Anointed One, he will come when he can come for everybody. And that suggests that we should develop a more inclusive consciousness.
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, that's one reason I think why the world consciousness is moving towards more interdependent and global in its scope. And all of this plays right into the need, into the preparation work for a global view of human spirituality. And this is what the coming avatar, the Christ, or whatever name you give him, is going to provide. He's going to continue the revelation further. And this is what all these great teachers down through the ages have brought to the world. They have provided a new revelation in the sense of whatever humanity at the time is ready for. And now I think we are at a stage where we can accept a much deeper and a more penetrating understanding of our relationship to God. And this is what all these great avatars are essentially trying to do, to advance the revelation to the next stage.
It's interesting to build upon that idea in terms of the last program we did, which focused on the idea of hierarchy and the gradation of being, which is represented by hierarchy, the hierarchical chain of life, the transmission of spiritual energy is from greater to lesser. And that, to me, is perfectly logical, that the nascent divinity that exists in every human heart is awakened or prompted by the impact of a greater spiritual presence. In other words, the impact of the Christ, of the world teacher, upon that basic Christ principle, which is found in every human heart, would be one of stimulation and awakening. And so the transmission of divinity would require that intermediary represented by Christ, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And that intermediary is essentially the intermediary between opposites, you might say. And that's why it's emphasized in the Bailey writing so much, that what humanity needs to realize and try to work towards is building right human relations, because right relationship is the basis for moving forward. It's the basis for new energies coming into the world, because when there is a fusion of at the soul level, a fusion of souls, then there is a great release of light. And this is seen in the fusion process in the atom, and this is what humanity is in fact working at now, towards understanding the fusion at the atomic level.
Well, when you say opposites, I wonder if another aspect of misunderstanding about the reappearance of the Christ has to do with God being divine and human beings being mortal and evil and sinful. That's certainly a pair of opposites that I think a lot of people have a great difficulty reconciling in their minds. To me, that's a misunderstanding, because the human being is made by God, made in His image, and therefore divine in origin and divine in destiny. And the very fact of the crucifixion, which again I think is misunderstood, the martyrdom of Christ is given over attention, and the symbolic act of the cross itself, which is the merging of the vertical or spiritual approach to life with the horizontal or material grounding of spiritual life, is represented in the cross. His sacrifice on that cross, to me, represents the pure emergence of spirit and matter, which is the goal for every human being, to be in material human form, as Christ was, and to remember our essential divinity.
And it's also the merging of two kingdoms that is in process right now, too. It's the merging of the human kingdom with the kingdom of God, with this kingdom of souls, which is the same thing. And it is a process that was started by Christ 2,000 years ago, when He anchored the great energy of the love of God in the world. And this has led to the building of a pathway and an opening for the fusion, if you will, in the distant future, of the two kingdoms, of the human kingdom and the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of souls. And this will release a tremendous amount of light into the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the coming one. Lucis Trust has a gift for you today. Sarah and Dale have authorized it, and we'll be happy to send it out to you. It's a pamphlet, and the title of the pamphlet, The Coming One. And once again, it's a gift, absolutely free of charge, not even a shipping charge. And we'll be delighted to send it out to you. And I guess what you'd expect to find in this pamphlet is a further exploration of the topic that we're talking about today, The Coming One. And I think you'll find it interesting. There's some very good information in it, and you'll find out... I think does the pamphlet go into some Does it have anything about from the ageless wisdom in the pamphlet? Because
yes.
I know people are always interested in that whenever
yes,
we talk about
it. Yes, presents the whole concept from the standpoint of the ageless wisdom.
All right, and you can go into a little bit more depth, and mm-hmm. it's more or less a continuation. The pamphlet will be more or less a continuation of what we're talking about
yes.
today. And our hope is that reading that pamphlet might stimulate your interest in the Alice Bailey books, where you might take an interest in some of the books that focus on this topic, such as the reappearance of the Christ. Are there any other ones, Sarah, that deal with this topic?
Yes, the book From Bethlehem to Calvary does mm-hmm. also, and the externalization of the hierarchy. The pamphlet you're offering on the coming one is actually chapter one from the reappearance of the Christ.
Oh, okay. So this might be step one also into your entry into the Alice Bailey books. I found this pamphlet to be very interesting, and I'm sure all of you will too. So if you'd like to take advantage of this gift, of this offer, please give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. We have a website. The website is www.lucistrust.org, and if you key into the website, you can find a lot of information about Lucis Trust. One of the primary reasons people key into the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows, and we have so many of them now, so all different topics, so all from the Alice Bailey books. We have a homepage, and on the homepage you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. So once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Also, we appreciate your donations, large and small. That's what keeps us on the air. We hope they keep on coming in. We'd like to continue doing these radio shows for you. They're an expression to us of your support. One of the biggest donations is given by Sarah and Dale, who do this show without pay. So pick up on the energy of their enthusiasm and make a donation to Lucis Trust. You could send it to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York. 10005. It's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I get the feeling, too, that as I listen to the show, and I guess I'm correct in my viewpoint, that all of these different religions who seem to be waiting for their own coming one, they might all be waiting for the same.
Yes.
The same one, is that it?
Yes, that's what's so interesting. There is this overlap between the Christian observance of December 25th and the Persian Mithraic observance of the same birth of the world Savior on the same date. And the same concept of being born to a virgin mother and born in a cave is found in the Mithraic view and the Christian view. And then there's the overlap of the Christ, which is from the Greek, and Messiah from the Hebrew, which mean both the anointed one. And there is in the Hindu religion the belief in the Kalki avatar, who will be the supreme embodiment of Vishnu, who is the Hindu correlation, I guess you could say, to the idea of the Christ, the second aspect, the perfected soul, who will come at the end of the era, and the Maitreya Buddha, whose very name means kindness. Those are similarities with the teaching of the Christ as the embodiment of love. There's this, behind it all, I think, this human expectation that God's love, which is utterly divine, is capable of being anchored on earth and expressed in human form.
That's the objective, yes. I mean, that's what humanity is responsible for. And Christ, as I said earlier, he was the first one to actually anchor that great energy of love here on the physical plane and working out through a human expression. And so it's a continuation of that same process that still has to be done. And the Christ is returning to continue this process. And I believe, according to the teachings that we read in the Bailey books, that the emphasis this time will be also on the will factor, that there will be a great stimulation of the will of God and upon the little wills of men. And you see this, it says that in the great invocation, and that we sound at the end of the program, that Sarah mm-hmm. sounds at the end of the program. And so that's another thing that helps in the preparation work, is the sounding of the great invocation and the emphasis there upon light and love and the will, the power of the will to good, bringing goodness into the world and evoking the goodness in the human heart. And so these are all powerful forces that are working towards the preparation for the Christ.
Another aspect of preparation is mental development. And I think it's interesting to ponder on how 2,500 years ago the Buddha prepared the way for the Christ. His work as the Lord of Light, with his teaching on detachment and release of the element of desire, prepared the way, I think, for human beings to respond to Christ's teaching about love. Love mustn't be confused with attachment or desire or personal acquisition. And the Buddha made that very clear in his teaching. Once again, it seems as if the Buddha is preparing the way for the return of the Christ in the upsurge of interest in Buddhism in recent decades. Again, the principles of the Buddha are being reaffirmed and well anchored in Western consciousness. The interest in the Dalai Lama, the enormous reverence for his presence and his teaching is quite significant, I think.
Right, and as we know from the writings in the Bailey books, the Buddha is very active in the preparation work for the Christ and stands with him, actually. It is said that Christ will not be coming alone. He will have a lot of help. He will have other beings and masters coming into the world at the same time. And so I think it will be unmistakable when he does reappear, because if unless you're looking for the same kindly person that came before 2,000 years ago, he won't come as a child and go through the process of being born again in the physical as a physical baby, but he will come as a fully adult human being and fully awake and prepared to take on the tremendous task of leading humanity into the next stage.
It's always seemed curious to me that there is resistance on the part of a lot of perfectly intelligent and thoughtful spiritual people to the idea of the reappearance of the Christ, as if they don't like the idea of the physical embodiment of such an evolved being. And I wonder why that is. To me, that's the only way a divine principle can be anchored on earth, through physical embodiment in the life of an individual, not an individual as we know the term, a unique separate personality with its distinct idiosyncrasies and so on. We're not talking about that kind of individuality, but the anchorage in consciousness, which is the gift of each human being, a fully realized entity like the Christ, aware of his humanity and his divinity merged in him, anchored on earth in physical incarnation, is the necessity for anchoring divine energy such as love and, as you say, spiritual will. You might say we need an example. We need an embodiment that we can then build upon. That's the whole point of a world teacher or an avatar. They are a demonstration of what we have to then build in.
Right. The time he came before, he came as a physical person. And many of the other masters of the wisdom have come into the world as physical persons. And they can, if need be, they can appear in a physical body. So it's not something that's too far-fetched or unthinkable.
Maybe the people who are resistant to the idea find it degrading to such a one. And I do think that, if it's true, implies that we have a lot of work to do to prepare the way for him. And that was the point of the rabbi whose article I read, that the Messiah comes for everybody. We have to establish the necessary peace and goodwill and sharing and right human relationships that will provide the foundation for the Christ's work. If we don't do that, why should he? That's our job.
Right. It says that before he can come, that a certain measure of peace has to be restored, and the principle of sharing is at least in process of controlling some of the affairs of human affairs, like in the economic affairs. And so this is all preparation work that we in the human kingdom have to do so that we're not distracted by wars and by hatred and by separateness, that the mind is ready and receptive to receive the next advanced revelation.
Well, if sharing and right human relationships are preconditions, we have some work to do, because the disparity between the haves and have-nots is growing over recent decades, according to research offered by the United Nations, and we know all about the wars that are underway in the world. There's a lot that human beings have to accomplish, and I think we see a lot of really good effort underway in the world by non-governmental organizations and charities. Each of us should pick a group that we can identify with and lend our hand.
Please take advantage of the gift that Lucis Trust is offering you. It's absolutely for free. Not even a shipping charge. Just give us a call on our toll-free number and ask for the pamphlet, the title of which is The Coming One. Absolutely free of charge, our gift to you. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.